Thank you, thank you. If you were wondering about the mic situation, I'm going to go ahead and let you know. You can make fun of Vince. Vince took the lapel mic down to the marriage retreat. So even though I'm not really walking around a whole lot anyway, so this is cool. But give him a hard time because he gives everybody else a hard time. All right. Come on, Jeff. Morning, everybody. It's good to see you. You got the singles. You know, Waymaker. Come on, man. Waymaker acapella with the drum. Damn, come on, man. I'm over there like, I almost couldn't even sing. I was just rocking, you know? Come on. It's been a minute since I've got to talk to you guys. My bad. I'm going to talk right into it. I got you. Because the people online need to hear too. We've been talking about encounters with Jesus, and I get to be the last person to talk about the last encounter that we'll be addressing in our series. So I've been a little excited to do this. You know, I've been reading through some scripture. Vince gave me the longest passage ever to look at, right? We're looking at, if you're a note taker and you don't want to miss anything, or you're worried about turning your Bible, we're going to be in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44 the whole time. So if you want to open it up, we there. We're going to do a little bit of reading the scripture. Is that okay? But I won't read all 44 to you at once. I got you. We're going to take it out in chunks. I learned in teaching that if I talk too long, I lose them. So, and I think you guys are a little bit more, you know, mature than kids. But, you know, it's pretty much the same. Low-key, it's pretty much the same. So, I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and I'm going to go ahead and jump into it. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for this time. Thank you for an opportunity to share scripture, to worship you, and to be with family. I pray, Lord, that your word speaks and that we can all take something that is convicting and that helps us in our walk and our journey with you. It's in Christ I pray. Amen. Amen. So we've been looking at different encounters with Jesus, and I've been really inspired by a lot of these sermons. And in this passage, you know, this is obviously, if you're looking at the heading or you're reading the head, this is where, you know, Jesus brings Lazarus back to life. And I didn't realize as much everything that was going on with this passage when I first, you know, just read it until, like, I really started spending some time with it. There's a lot to be noticed about how God meets us in waiting, right? Anybody ever wonder where God was in a situation? You know what I mean? Do it always feel like, man, I just wish if things was to happen when I wanted it to, right? Like, God, where was you at, like, in this moment? Or, like, why did you wait until this time? And I think this passage really gave me a lot of insight into how I view God's timing and how I wait, and hopefully it can help you guys as well. And so I'm going to go ahead and start it off. We can open up John 11, 1 through 16. We're going to look at where Jesus was in the situation, give a little bit of context. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When Jesus heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days, and then he said to the disciples, "Let's go back to Judea. "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." This is valid. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Stop there. I never realized when reading this passage that Jesus waited for 2 days after getting that news. Right? Like Jesus, they follow, Jesus loved Martha, his sister, her sister, and Lazarus, right? Scriptures say so. These are Jesus' friends, right? These are like people, not necessarily his disciples, his 12 that are walking with him, but these are people that he genuinely, you know what I'm saying, loves. Like it's almost like, you know, close friends of family. Does it not strike anybody as weird that when you hear your friend is dying or is sick and you know that you could help him, that, all right, I'm going to wait 2 days. You know what I mean? Like, that level of, like, it almost feels like he moving too slow. Like, I feel like it would be like a sense of urgency. Like, oh, man, Lazarus is dying. Let's go. Let's go ahead. I don't know what we had going on. Let's go ahead and head back to Bethany. But, no, that's not what Jesus did. He said he waited 2 days. And as I was reading this, I was like, I could take this a couple ways, right? Maybe Jesus, you know, Jesus was fully human and fully God, right? And if somebody just tried to stone me back at the place, I probably wouldn't be trying to go back over there to see them personally. You know, I would at least hesitate, you know. But when you love somebody, you'd be willing to go the extra mile in that way, though, right? That wouldn't stop Jesus from moving. A lot of times, and this story is kind of cool because we kind of get the background of where Jesus was. When we're waiting, we often don't know what Jesus is doing in that time frame, right? Or why Jesus does what Jesus does. But I think he gave us a great example in this. His slow pace and his moving wouldn't make sense to anybody else, but he gets a chance to demonstrate to us that even he waited on God's timing, right? Even Jesus waited for when he was supposed to do what he was supposed to do, right? If he would have been there, right, they wouldn't have been as faithful. He said so himself. I don't feel like that on the other side, though. Because, I mean, personally, I'm no Jesus. I do my best to try, but I fall short. And we kind of see what this kind of leads to, right, with how he interacts with Mary and Martha. And that's kind of what I want to focus on today. Jesus' interactions, he has a lot of interactions here. There's a lot we could preach on in these 44 passages. I mean, that parable he gave out, I don't even want to talk about that today. But I want to kind of lock in on how Jesus interacted with Mary and how Jesus interacted with Martha. Because both of them, their brother just died. They sent word to Jesus days ahead of time that their brother was sick, knowing that he could help him. But they don't see Jesus until after they buried him and put him in the tomb. So you can imagine, just kind of place yourself into their shoes. You can imagine how they could be feeling. And I think that this kind of gives a lot of insight to how we can wait better with Jesus or with God. So let's keep reading. In John 11, 17 through 27. On his arrival, Jesus had found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Bless you. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Let's stop there. So Jesus' interaction with Martha, right? I found this super odd. Like, I would be way more sad. Like, Martha, first thing Martha says when she sees him, if you was here, he wouldn't have died. That's fair. But I know you, God, right? I know that you, anything can happen with you, right? So, like, Martha is kind of real logical about what she's thinking, real logical about how she's working through her grief, right? Because grief looks a lot of different ways, right? We've all grieved at some point or another in our lives, whether that was for a loved one or even for different circumstances or situations that ended badly, right? We've all grieved in different ways. And so sometimes we like to handle it with logic. You know, Martha was concerned with all of the details, right? Martha was concerned with how things happened. Okay, things didn't happen the way that I would have hoped they would have happened. Things didn't happen the way I thought they should have happened, but God is God, so you know, we... So how did Jesus meet Martha? How did he interact with her? He called her to more faith, right? I know personally, I can really relate to Martha when I start to think about it like this, because I can get very concerned with all the details, the logic, the science behind the thing. If you put in, you know, I'm a math teacher by trade. If I put in X, if I know what X is supposed to be, I know what the equation is supposed to give me out, right? And so when we start adding more variables in, and we start trying to find more control in something that we don't have control over, right? So I think Jesus met Martha exactly how he needed to. At first, it seemed kind of harsh. It's like, yo, she's grieving. And she's clearly a little bit upset, but she's trying to be faithful. Anybody pray like that? It's like, God, I'm mad at you, but I know you God, so. A lot of my prayers be looking like this. It's like, Lord, I'm so upset with you. How this happened? Why do I have to wait so long? What am I waiting for? Are you even? It's like, but I know you God. It's like the back and forth, and Jesus is patient with her. I'm just like, man, do you believe that I am who I say I am? He will rise again. And even when he says that, she's trying to understand it on her terms, right? Like, I know he's going to be back, like, at Resurrection Day. He's like, that's not what I'm talking about. You don't even know what I'm doing, right? And she still didn't, right? Like, he was gone, and sounds pretty impossible, right? Like, he's going to rise before the Resurrection Day? All right, Jesus, I'm going to just trust you. Sometimes that's where we need to be. So that was him with Martha. But then let's look at what he does with Mary. If we keep reading, 28 through 37. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she had got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Same thing Martha said. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. They replied, and Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? So this is Jesus' interaction with Mary. There's a, you know, extra interaction with, you know, those that was with Mary, right? Mary and Martha had said the same thing to Jesus, but their hearts were in two different places. Martha was very logical. Martha was trying to process everything and why everything is happening the way that it's happening. Mary was emotionally distraught, right? And I think we all can resonate with that as well. When you grieving a loved one or grieving, when you're in the midst of grieving, sometimes you logical, sometimes you very emotional, right? And you don't know what to do with your emotions. You just, hopefully you have some people to comfort you, people around you, you know? But when she heard Jesus was calling for her, she said, okay, let me go ahead and like put this in front of God, right? Which I think is very faithful. Like, if you would have been here, it wouldn't have happened. Jesus didn't say, well, how dare you? How dare you say that to me, right? Jesus took that and kept rolling. Jesus met her in the midst of that grief, right? Jesus wept, which is the, you know, Jesus was there in the midst of her sorrow, in the midst of her grief. Jesus went and met her there, right? Which is kind of cool because Jesus meets us where we're at. If we want to stay heady with it, you know, Jesus will call us to faith. If we want to, you know, if we want to dig deep into that emotional well, Jesus will weep with us too. A lot of times for me, and if I've been waiting for a long period of time, right, they waited for Jesus and they feel like it was too late, right? Lazarus is already dead. I don't know what you're going to do, but you're like already too late. So now I guess you're here to help me move on. When we don't know what Jesus is going to do or how the timing is going to work out, right? So Jesus, you know, He meets her right there. I can feel like Jesus doesn't care, right? Sometimes I'm like, oh, you don't care about how I feel while it's happening. You only care about the result. So to see Jesus weep with her, like, yo, I loved Lazarus too. I would have been here if I could. We actually don't know what he was doing for those 2 days, right? He might have been very upset with how, you know, trying to process, like, I know I got to go in, and I know that, you know, this is for God's glory, and that I know that this is going to be an opportunity for me to show that even death has no power over me. I know the end result of this situation, but it hurts. Jesus was hurting too. Do you guys believe Jesus hurts with us when we hurt? You know? Because I think when we do, it changes the way that we pray. It changes the way that we approach him, right? I don't think that this passage is calling Martha or Mary unfaithful. I think they both are very faithful. I think this passage is giving us examples of how we can interact with Jesus while we're waiting. The best part about this is that they didn't realize that they were still waiting. They thought the situation was already over, right? They thought the situation had been solved and that Jesus coming was for them. Jesus meeting them was just, okay, you know, you're coming after the fact to make sure everything is everything. We don't even know what Jesus is doing while Jesus is doing it. Which one of these two people do you resonate with most? What season of life are you in, right? What are you waiting for? Have you been waiting on something for so long and you just feel like you've logicked your way out of, like, man, maybe God is keeping this from me for this reason. And, you know, I don't know when he's going to do what or what's going to make him change his mind, but this is kind of where I'm at and this is how I'm going to pray about it. Or are you in a place of like, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to feel. I just feel how I feel and I feel like God either doesn't care or God, I can't see how God is here with me in this. Which one of those do you resonate with? I think sometimes I'm one, sometimes I'm another, right? I think anybody that's, you know, been, anybody that deals with anything health-wise or has watched a loved one deal with something health-wise has felt like this, has felt like both of these things, right? I felt like this watching my grandmother struggle with dementia. It was very challenging because I would go, when I would get a chance to see her, we would have the same conversation every time. A lot of times, she would be talking to me about me, right? Like, she didn't recognize that I was me, but she would talk to me about how she was proud about what her grandson was doing. And I'm like, it's such a surreal feeling. And I'm like, God, how do you fix this? Why would this be like this? Would it be better for her to be, you know? You wrestle with it, right? I felt like this. I mean, anybody that's, you know, this is a singles-led service, right? You know, it's married people in here, but, you know, it's a singles-led service, right? A lot of us been waiting, right? Right? You know, right? Like, Get some laughs. It's real, right? Been waiting. Some people waiting. How long? How many heartbreaks do I have to go through, right? How many times I'm gonna get left on red? Man, is this a graveyard? How many times I'm getting ghosted? Right? No, I'm speaking on both baths. I've ghosted. I've been ghosted. Let's be honest. To be honest about it. A lot of times we can just figure, oh, that's just not for me. The logic can lead us to that, right? Yeah. Right? What season of life are you in? What are you waiting for? How are you waiting? Right? I think Martha and Mary both were waiting well because when they interacted with Jesus, they brought what they were struggling with right to him. Right? And I think that can be my biggest problem. A lot of times, the logic can lead me to be like, man, God isn't worried about this. Let me pray about something else. Right? I don't know if anybody resonates with it, but that's me. And if you know me, you can call me out on it, right? And ask me how my prayer life is going. I I think we can take example from both of them, no matter how you're feeling. And I think this story really serves a way to show us how we can interact with Jesus and waiting well. But the best part is, this isn't the end of the story. If we finish up in John 11, 38 through 44, as I close, his lights is bright today. John 11, 38 through 43. Appreciate you, B-Dawgs. Shout out to the AV team, man. We don't get a whole lot. We don't get a whole lot of love back there, man. That's where I'm usually at. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Detail oriented. Jesus, I don't want you to smell that. Like, I don't know if you. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. You got it. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." There's a lot of symbolism here with, you know, Jesus calling the man out of the tomb and Jesus, you know, being in the tomb for 3 days and coming out. I think there's a lot to be said about how this is a precursor of how Jesus has power over death and over life. There's nothing outside of, you know what I'm saying, God's power. But I think in the context of what we're talking about today, I think we can't really put a limit on what God can do. And I don't think we can, I think that we'll always end up being surprised when we wait well. And that God meets us when we're doubting even still. There's a lot of power in Jesus rectified all of that with like three words. "Lazarus, come out," you know. I mean, I know that God lives outside of time. And which is an interesting concept, right? Because if I'm outside of something, if I do something to it, it's not affected. I'm not affected by anything in here, right? So us waiting and the timing does not feel the same for God, right? There's you know, to be outside of something is to be able to influence it without it influencing you, right? So the fact that Jesus meets us in and throughout it is actually very comforting. And I think that's the biggest thing that I took from this passage. So I want to encourage you all, however you're waiting, whatever you're waiting for, to look for Jesus in that. You know, sit with him if you need to sit with him. Weep with him if you need to weep with him. Logic with him if you need to logic with him. But no matter where you are with that, come back around to the faithful piece of remembering who God is and knowing that at the other side of waiting, it may not be what you expected, right? Lazarus was not healed. Lazarus was brought back to life. That's not what they asked for. They got something way different and more than what they asked for. And I'm not saying that whatever you're waiting for is going to end up being something like extravagant, right? Like, I don't know, some of y'all might be waiting on making $1 million and you end up getting a little extra money out on your taxes. Those are two different things. But I think God gives us what we need when we need it in the timing that we need it. And that's what I want to leave you with today. Thank you.